You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, Koinonia Church. I am not in the house this morning, but I did not want to miss the opportunity to introduce to you today our speaker, a man who really needs no introduction. Pastor Tim Howard is here with us to deliver the message today. If you are new to Koinonia and you've never heard Pastor Tim before, I want to tell you, you're in for a treat. And of course, if you're not new to Koinonia, you know that Pastor Tim was our lead pastor for more than a decade and a half. And I was privileged to stand alongside him as his executive pastor during that time. And now I'm privileged to follow him as he passed the baton to me in 2019. And anytime he is able to come and speak to our church, I always want him to do that. I just want to say what a privilege it has been to follow this man who led for all of those years with faithfulness, integrity, and vision. And now that he has retired, he's continued to be supportive of not only the church, but of me in particular, and has always been an encouragement to me. He served on the board of elders for a number of years after he retired and has just continued to be a strength. And I want you, Koinonia, to make sure that this morning we give him our full attention, we give him our best. And would you welcome him to the stage this morning, Pastor Tim.
Well, thank you for that. I talked to Andrew last week. I really love that guy. He's just a tremendous man. I think he's just a wonderful teacher. Got a great teaching staff here. I'm telling you, I'm really fortunate to even be invited to stand alongside these speakers. But I talked to him last week, and I said, why don't you take the weekend off? And I didn't think he would because he never listened to me when I was lead pastor, so I thought he'd just come. But he actually took it off, and I said, you got a week, next week's going to be big, and so take it off, and so he did. I've been retired for 2 years now. I'm moving into my third year, and there's a lot of new faces here that don't know who I am, don't necessarily care about what I've gone through and anything like that, and that's okay because I don't care about you either and what you've gone through. Let's just be upfront and be honest about it, okay? I don't want you to pull out your, you know, vacation pictures and show me. But for those of you who are new to the church, you may not know that my wife died, passed away, went to be with Jesus, had a home going. There's lots of different ways of saying it, but she's gone, okay? And so whatever you feel comfortable with, that happened on November 5th of last year. I'm a little rusty because I haven't spoken to the church for quite a long time, so please bear with me and forgive me if I falter a bit. But I did stand on this platform a little less than 4 months ago on November 20th to do my wife's memorial service. But I got to tell you, it's a lot better to be here today than it was then. It was a real difficult day for me. A lot has happened in my life in the last 5 months since Donna went to be with Jesus. And I won't bore you with the facts, but I will let you know that I had surgery. Actually, I had two surgeries to take a melanoma cancer from my forehead. The first one, after they did it, they stitched it up and discovered that they couldn't get it. It was more extensive than they thought. So they connected me to a doctor, a surgeon in the Fresno area, Dr. Concepcion, and we scheduled a surgery for December 17th, and I went up there, had the surgery. 28 stitches later, he came into the room and told me that looks like we got all the cancer. So, and then 2 days ago, I had a checkup, and he said no need for chemotherapy or radiation. So that's good news. It's only praise territory if you want to live a little longer, okay? So, and I do. So here I am. And so when I look back at that event, I think the most traumatic thing for me was not the surgery, and it wasn't the recovery, but it was that moment in time when I'm in this little cubicle and they have these curtains, you know, there's someone on the other side, and the nurse brings in this little nightgown that It looks like a negligee, but I'm going to say nightgown. I don't think it was see-through, but it was just really so thin. It was like it was made of paper. And the nurse told me, see, Donna wasn't there. And then Brad, my oldest son, took me there. But he couldn't come in. They wouldn't let him. So I'm there alone. And see, I'm 71 years old. I've never been in the hospital to have a surgery and put out with anesthesia before. So this is a first time for me. So I love God and I believe He's there. But I'm a little nervous. So I'm in this room and this nurse gives me this little nightgown, and she says, "Okay, take all of your clothes off and put this on." And she left quickly, and I says, I couldn't even catch her. It was so quick. And I just says, I was thinking, why do I have to take all my clothes off? He's working on my head. You know what I mean? Hopefully the doctors know where they're going to operate. But I did what she said, and I took them off and put that little nightgown on. And if you've never been to the hospital, now I know that you have to tie it in the back. I don't consider myself unskilled, but I could not tie that little, I was going to say those friggin' little strips, but I was going to say so stinking strips, and I tried, but I couldn't tie them. So what I decided to do is I put my pants back on, put the gown on as best I could, lay down on the gurney. They gave you a little towel, so I covered up myself so that they couldn't, I left my shirt off and my socks off, So then I go into surgery, and when I come out and I come back to consciousness a few hours later, I realize that my pants are gone. So evidently, evidently they thought it was necessary for me to take those off. So anyway, that was the most traumatic thing for me. And that catches you up on the life of Tim Howard for the past 4 months. I'm so glad that Pastor Rogers still oversees King's Counseling Center, because I've been in therapy for that for the last few times. I've titled this message today, Night Goggles. I think we all know that night goggles are used, night vision goggles are used to help us see things in the dark that we couldn't see without them. And This message is rooted in Psalms 139, 11 and 12, and here's what this text says. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Here's the big idea that I want to communicate with you today. I want to help people, and you may already know what I'm about to say. And if so, I just want to remind you. But I want to help us to never lose sight of Jesus when you go in the dark times. I know what it's like to have darkness set in. But if you can see Jesus and you don't lose sight of Him, if you believe with me that God is working even when things are terrible around you, even when things are breaking down and everything seems to be going south, if you can believe with me that God is still working and not lose sight of Him, you will open doors to heaven and all the opportunities and provisions and possibilities that God can do. Jesus prayed the prayer and said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When you open the doors, when you see Jesus, you open the door for His kingdom life to happen in you in the midst of darkness. You become people who you don't need to have darkness leave before you rejoice, but you can actually rejoice in the midst of darkness. Sometimes you got to sing while it's in dark so that the darkness leaves. But a lot of us tend to wait until darkness leaves before we sing. So I want to talk to you about how to keep your eyes on Jesus, because if you lose sight of Jesus, you open Pandora's box. In mythology, Pandora opened the box and curses came out. When you lose sight of Jesus, it's in the midst of darkness, you open the door to fear, anxiety, worry, concern, fret. You lose sleep. of things like that. Let me give you two examples. The first example would be from Isaiah chapter 40. This is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. I have 52 chapters that I consider my top 52 chapters. But I would say put this one in the top 20 because it's marvelous. It's the one that ends with Isaiah saying, if you wait upon the Lord, he'll renew your strength. You'll get some wings like an eagle and you'll be able to soar. And when you run, you won't faint. And when you walk, you won't get weary. And he'll give grace to the humble and he'll give strength to the weak. But in that chapter, they lost sight of who God was. And they were complaining and blaming him. See, sometimes people who go through darkness and they lose sight of God, they start blaming him for their problems. And they begin to assume that he's doing things. I had people come to me and say, are you mad at God when Donna dies? And I said, why would I be mad at God? I mean, there are people who actually get mad when God doesn't do what they want him to do. See, if you lose sight of God, you can start blaming him for things. And that's what the people were doing in Isaiah 40. So God comes and says, why do you say that I'm not concerned about you? Why do you say that I don't care? Do you not know that I'm the one who did the stars? Have you looked up recently? I'm the one who put them there. Why do you say, am I not the one who's provided for you? Why do you say this in your mind? See, they had lost sight of God. And when you do that, you assume that he doesn't care about you. Well, he hasn't answered my prayers. I prayed one time, went to church once. He didn't do it, so I'm not following him. It just doesn't make sense. Second illustration, today's Palm Sunday. We've heard quite a bit about it already. It was a day of celebration. It was like a big parade. I mean, Hosanna. I mean, that's the term, as we've already heard, of we believe you're the Messiah. They were so enthralled with him that they began to put palm branches down, and some even took their clothing off and put it down on the highway. So it's almost like a man who puts his coat down over a mud puddle so his wife can, you know, walk on it. I just take my wife around the mud puddle personally, but but that's what it was like that they were doing. And it's like, man, this was you couldn't miss Jesus. He was on center stage. The Oscars just happened, I'm told, and they rolled out the red carpet. I don't watch the Oscars. I don't know if you do or not. I did watch Will Smith slap, what is his face, but only because I heard of that afterwards. But they rolled the red carpet. They would have had a red carpet. In other words, I'm trying to describe, it was a day of celebration, and Jesus was very visible. Haven't you had days like that when everything's going right? You've got enough in your stomach. You've got some extra money. You can go see a movie. You got plenty to pay $6, $7 a gallon if you have to pay it for gas. You got enough money to go around. Man, you can't stop praising God. He's just obviously there. And that's the way it was Palm Sunday. Little did they know that there was a subversive power at work underneath the surface. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday comes. And all of a sudden, this Jesus who could be found on Sunday couldn't be found on Friday. He couldn't be missed on Sunday. He couldn't be found on Friday. Why? He was killed. He was murdered. When I think of Good Friday, as we will celebrate in just a few days, my heart breaks every time I come to the Easter season. I do rejoice that he rose from the grave, but the injustice that happened on Good Friday, I mean, I have to say that there was nothing good about it at all. The only good thing, and the reason we call it Good Friday, is that he gave his life for us. He didn't die natural causes. He gave up his life on behalf of us. So it's good for us that God did, because he dealt with our sin. But on that day, it became very dark. And you know what happened with the followers of Christ? They all lost sight of Jesus. They couldn't see him anymore. All their hopes, all their dreams. They invested, many of them, many years following him. And now it's dashed because he's dead. And what did they do? They opened the door to fear anxiety. They were on the run. They were hiding behind closed doors in fear of their life. Pandemonium hit. That's what happens when darkness sets in oftentimes. I've been through many, many seasons of darkness. How many have? Well, I don't. You don't even need to raise your hand. I can tell you all of you have. And those years of darkness and those seasons of darkness are not easy. The latest season for me was obviously my wife's death on November 5th, just about 5 or 6 months ago. The lights went out for me. There was a power outage. It was black. It was dark. I knew it was coming because the lights were getting dimmer and dimmer for the last 2 years as I cared for her. I read the scripture and I've taught from it time and again over the years. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the rising of the sun that gets brighter and brighter every day. And here I'm in a season where it's getting dimmer and dimmer all the time. People react to darkness, and I say all of that to say that death isn't the only reason that darkness sets in. I can guarantee in a crowd this size, even though I don't consider myself a discerning man, without discernment, I can say that I'll bet there are people here today who you're worried about paying the rent. You don't know if you have enough money to buy the medicine you need or the food that you need to eat. That's a dark time. I lived for 15 years under the level of poverty in the ministry, making nothing. We wondered at times how we would pay our bills. We wondered at times maybe how will we eat tomorrow? And sometimes we didn't eat for 2 or 3 days in a row. And I'm not lying. I'm just saying that's the way it was. Obviously, God's been faithful to me, so, you know, I've made it through those years. I think all of us could probably skip a few meals and be okay with it. But in those days, we didn't know where that was coming from. And I can't tell you how often God would cause someone to bring some groceries and leave it on our steps. Those are dark times. Some of you have gone through a divorce and you have custody battles going on. Man, those are tough. You know, sometimes I think death is easier than divorce because death, at least there's a finalization. But divorce is ongoing. And if you have a lot of turmoil and it's not amicable and you won't work together, man, it's even worse. It just never ends. And that's dark times. I mean, I could go on and on. So death is not the only thing. But all of us, we react differently to death. I was watching AV, American's Funniest Videos, the other night. And have you ever seen these fainting goats? Yes. When they get startled, it's just, maybe I'm just too simple, but I just love to watch that. It's because they just fall over, and it's kind of like rigor mortis has set in, and they just can't move. And I hate to say it, but a lot of Christians, when they go through a dark season, they fall over. What do they say? They say it's not falling into the water that drowns you. It's not coming up. And it's not falling down that's so bad. It's that you don't get back up again. And there are so many people, and I have no stones to throw at anyone who is grieving and moving through sorrow, even if it takes years, that's between them and the Lord. I have no strong, but I am here to say you don't have to spend years falling down. There is a way, and if you see Jesus, you can get back up again sooner than people would think you could and start walking again. Some people react differently. They're like those fainting goats. Others, they go to alcohol and have a few beers, and that goes into hard liquor, and some take drugs, and some go on spending sprees, and so there's lots of different ways to deal with that, but I found a secret, and that's what I want to share with you, 4 secrets, as a matter of fact, as to how you can keep your eyes focused on Jesus and not only survive dark times, but also thrive, because dark times are coming. Do you know that every 12 hours we are reminded that darkness comes with life? The sun goes down, and what happens? Darkness happens. Every day we're reminded that, oh, that's a part of life. So darkness is going to come, and I have a secret to tell you. Paul said it this way. He says in Philippians 4:12, I know what it's like to be in darkness. I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it's like, in other words, to have times where I don't have enough provisions to go around. But I also know what it's like to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content, however, in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living or in plenty. It was January 17th, the weekend of Martin Luther King's birthday, that God planted this message in my heart. The seeds began to grow. And it happened on the coast. I asked my son, Brad, my oldest, and my youngest son, Eric, to join me at the coast in Morro Bay with my grandson. It had been 2.5 months since their mom went to be with Jesus. So I just wanted to check up on them to make sure that they're doing okay. So I sat down. We had just a tremendous weekend. Matter of fact, looking back on it now, I feel like that was the weekend that we moved into this new season and said, okay, we can't look behind. We got to look ahead. But as we're there, I asked them, I want to believe that I've been a good dad. I want to believe that I've been a good example for you to learn from with regards to being a type of father that's a good father. And they said, yes, I have been. So I don't know if they're lying or not, but at least they said that. So I'm accepting it as true. And then I said to them, I know I've been not a very good husband in years past. And I know I've made a lot of mistakes, but I'd like to believe that I'm a good example of what it means to be a husband who cares for his wife the way she deserves to be cared for. And they both agreed with that. Then I said, but I don't think that I've ever been able to articulate, I've ever been able to put into words how your father, this man, not this pastor, but this man, I've never been able to articulate how he can make it through dark times and not throw in the towel and not give up on life and not get depressed and discouraged and not start drinking uncontrollably until he's drunk. I don't think I've ever communicated, and that's when this message was born. And I share with them these four secrets that are rooted in Hebrews chapter 12. The verse that I want to read for you says this in Hebrews chapter 12. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Whether you know it or not, we're in a race, and it's not against each other. It's a race against time. It's a race against the enemy. And he says, if we're going to endure, we do that by, is there a verse up there? No. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. In other words, we stay focused on him because he's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. You may recall the narrative where Peter walks on the water. Do you remember that narrative where as long as he's looking at Jesus, he can walk, but when he starts to look away, he begins to sink. It's all about focus. There are four things that will help us focus, but I want you to see this commercial. This is one of my favorite commercials. I don't care how many times I've seen it, I laugh. I don't know, I heard some laughter up there. But watch the video, a clip, and then I'll talk to you about the four secrets to focusing.
Can I ask you a question? Am I out of focus?
You're fine.
Yeah, but I mean, look at me, I'm all blurry.
Well, you're supporting cast.
What?
The camera focuses on the most important character, which is me.
Well, what if my character had a big reveal?
Like what?
Like maybe I'm the killer.
Are you?
Yeah.
I can't get enough of that. I like the progressive commercials too, about, you know, young people becoming old, but that one's great. So how do we stay focused? Because Jesus is the central figure. You know what I mean? If you're in a class about active shooters, I think we need to be aware of what's going on. I mean, we need to know what's happening around us at all times. Most people are so ingrained in their phones, they could walk by and not know anything is happening around them. I think we need to be but we need to be focused on the main thing. How do we stay focused? Here, if you're taking notes, number one, you've got to stay focused on what's beyond the obvious. Do you ever get ticked off when people do certain things to you? All you can see is what they do, because that's the obvious thing. Sometimes I get ticked off when I hear someone say something, because it's obvious what they're saying, and I react to that. If you don't look beyond the obvious, you'll always react to things. You'll never deal with what's causing it. Have you noticed that when you are always reacting to people, that you never find solutions to the problems? It's because you're only dealing with the symptoms. And the symptoms never will take care of the problem. You have to look beyond the symptoms and find what's causing those symptoms. What's the fueling them? And once you find out what's the source of fuel, you cut the fuel line, and then all of a sudden the problems take care of themselves. You've got to look beyond the obvious. This last Wednesday, I had coffee with my youngest son really early in the morning. He's a teacher. He teaches at a school in Fresno, and it's a school that caters to underprivileged kids. And some of these children have horrendous family life settings. And he said, Dad, he says, I get so frustrated sometimes many of them won't behave. It's like they have no discipline. A lot of their families, the parents don't care. They don't ever come to meetings. I get frustrated. So I told him exactly what I'm saying to you right now. I said, you know, sometimes, son, you have to look beyond their actions. You have to look beyond what they're doing and try to find out, you know, what's causing that. And try to deal with that. Now, you may not be able to, but that's how you're going to deal with it. So he goes to school, and Wednesday night, he texts me. And he says, man, Dad, he says, I had a real challenging day, but I was able to stay calm and not get so frustrated. And I think it was because of our conversation this morning. And I thought, well, that's really good. And then he went on to say, he says, I'll give you an example. He said, this one young boy that I've been trying to reach, he didn't do his homework, and I started to get frustrated, and I remembered what we talked about. So I started to ask him to see why not. So I tried to ask him, and he wouldn't answer me. So I kept talking to him, and finally I got him to answer, because I was starting to get frustrated that he didn't do his homework. And I said, why didn't you do it? He says, my stepmom, if you really want to know, my stepfather beat up my mom, and the cops were there for a few hours and arrested him. Jeez, well, when you understand that, what happens? You grow a little bit of compassion, don't you? Because you're not just looking at the obvious, you're looking at something that's happening that's causing that. It doesn't excuse it, but at least it helps with that. And then in this text, he went on, he says, now, Dad, you're not going to believe this, but I got a text from Mom. And he did this in text form, so I'm reading it, and I just stopped there. I thought, oh, God, help him. He's losing his mind. He's, you know, that's not biblical. I didn't teach him that. And he says, I was doing trying to do a science lesson involving a sundial, and I needed a compass. And I knew I had a compass in my phone, so I got my phone out and opened it up. And when I opened it up, there was a text right there. I don't know how he got it, but it was there. And he said, it was from Mom when she prayed for me in 2018. And here's what the text said. Hey, E, that's what she called him. His name's Eric. Hey, E, I was just praying for you in your classroom. I felt led to pray that God would give you the ability to read these kids' hearts, that you would see beyond their attitudes and actions and see the hurts and disappointments that they have suffered. May you be filled with compassion and wisdom and understanding. And she underlined, today, love you mucho. Do you think that's a God thing?
Yes.
Monday morning, we talk about this. Wednesday morning, we have that conversation. And then we get a text, you know, in 2018 that says virtually better than I said it to him. She said it exactly like that. What a tremendous thing. You got to look beyond the obvious. Paul says, I don't fix 2 Corinthians 4:18. I don't look at the things that are right in front of me. I don't focus on the troubles we can see now, but rather I fix my gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone because they're temporal, but the things we cannot see will last forever. That's how you look beyond the obvious to see that. The second secret I found is you got to stay focused on the what questions and not the why questions. Too many people lose it because when they go into a period of darkness, they say, why did you let this happen, Lord? Why haven't you been there? I mean, I've been trying to do the best I can. I've been going to church all the time, been reading the word and trying to do what I'm supposed to do. And why'd you let this happen? I mean, are you a powerful God but not loving? Because if you were loving, you'd help me. Or are you a loving God but you don't have any power? That's why you aren't helping. See, all of these assumptions are coming because they've lost sight of God. And when you ask why, it's not wrong to ask why, but you can't ask why when it's dark. Because see that, I can give you the answers to the whys in your life, but you won't receive them in darkness. It has to be, I know why Donna died. I know why we all die. I have a theological and a understanding of what's taking place. I don't fear death, and I'm not mad when it happens. I know the answer to that. You don't ask the why in those, you ask what? What is it, Lord? See, when you say, what, God, is my next step? What do you want me to do in the midst of this darkness? What you're saying to him is, I believe you're involved. I know you're still here. I know you care. So what is it that you want me to do? And when you get that answer, you got to do it. And if you do it, you stay focused on Jesus. And you don't sink, you're able to walk. Number three, this third secret is you got to stay focused on God's purpose and not your comfort. Let me read a portion of a text from Acts chapter 16 that talks about Paul and Silas being in jail. How many of you remember that text? Any of you have read that? They're in prison. It's unjust. They shouldn't be there. Wasn't anything that they did. I mean, they did something that people didn't like it, but they didn't deserve what they got. So they're in prison. They're singing and praising God. And I want you to try to pick out the miracle, okay? So here it goes. Here it is. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation, and all the doors immediately fell open, and the chains, because all the prisoners were chains, they chained, the chains of every prisoner fell off. And the jailer woke up to see the prison doors open, and he assumed that the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword and was about to kill himself when Paul said and shouted, "Stop, we're all here." What was the miracle? Well, I think the obvious, if you're going to focus on the obvious is it was the earthquake. I mean, come on, you're imprisoned, you got chains on you, and you're praying and singing and asking God for deliverance, and we have an earthquake, and the chains all fall off. That's miraculous. But see, that's the obvious. I think the beyond the obvious, the miracle that really happened is that they stayed. Because if I were in that situation, I might have concluded, "Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer." Wow, I'm out of here. But they understood that life isn't about my comfort or my freedom. Life is about helping others as well. What is your purpose in this? What do you want me to do? Evidently, they kept their focus on the purpose because they stayed. What happened there? The Philippian jailer, the household, man, they all got saved because of that. You must, in the darkness, keep your eyes on his purpose. Listen, folks, the jailers were listening to what was going on with these guys. People are watching you. They want to know how Christians handle dark times. Are you a falling over goat? Do you go to alcohol? Is that what you do? They're watching to see how do Christians. Do they fall down and never get up again? Does their life totally, do they just throw in the towel and give up? Christians who keep their eyes on Jesus, they walk through darkness. Just like when you go through the fire, you don't have to have smoke burns on you because God takes care of you in those times. But you have to focus on his purpose and not your comfort. And last secret that I share with my boys and I share with you because Pastor Andrew asked me to, is you have to stay focused on others and not only yourself. I love Philippians 2:3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. I'll be honest with you, when Andrew asked me to speak, I don't have any desire, church, to speak in front of people. I do and have, because I made a decision never to ask why in any darkness. So in this time, even though I told Andrew, I says, "Andrew, I really don't want to do anything until at least June. I want to give myself 6 months," which that's nothing wrong with that. You know, some people take a year just to get their feet. And I mean, this has not been easy for me. I haven't lost sight of Jesus, but that doesn't mean it's always easy. You know, there I have to keep making decisions, and I make decisions by saying, "What do you want me to do?" And so I felt like God wanted me to marry a couple of people. So I married did two weddings in February. I didn't want to do that personally. I didn't really want to. I don't need to be in front of people to be happy. You know, I don't need the applause to keep loving Jesus. I really don't. There's a lot of pressure, you know, that Andrew feels, a lot of pressure that pastors feel, a lot of public speakers. I don't need that. But when he asked me to speak, I says, "You know, I really don't want to, but let me ask the Lord." So I asked the Lord, and I felt like he wanted me to do it. So I'm doing it. So if it's done today, then talk to God about it. Say, "Don't invite him again." So don't do that. But that's why I'm doing it. You've got to stay focused, not on yourselves only, others as well. You know, they do. And I'm going to be in Southern California helping my sister who has major surgery this next Friday. And so we don't know what's going to happen there. But she's 66. Five years younger than me, so I'm going to be taking care for, I don't know for how long, but we'll see how that goes. So I won't be here, but if I were here, I'd serve in the nursery. I'd help wherever they needed to, you know. But if you don't put others before yourself, you'll never serve any place. You just come and enjoy it, and you know. So please serve. You know, give yourself. Think of others and not just yourself. So let me just sum up, because my time's getting out of hand here. It says, if you keep your focus on what's beyond and not the obvious, beyond the obvious, if you focus on what questions and not the why questions, if you focus on God's purpose and plan and not your comfort, and if you focus on helping others rather than yourself, you will be a light that shines in the midst of darkness. Let me say something, and you don't have to agree with this, but I firmly in my heart believe that when COVID hit in 2020, there was a unique darkness in my spirit. I began to see it covering this planet. And it has been increasing. And there are levels of darkness. I hope you know that. You know, you go in the house and you think it's dark, but it, you know, you got all these little lights on, the night lights and the computer lights and the little lights. And so you can still see stuff, but there are places that, if you ever go into the catacombs, which I have been in Rome, let me tell you, it's dark. I think the darkness is increasing. And when Ukraine was invaded, I felt like there was another level of darkness that's going to begin. And Paul says in the end days, it's going to get worse. And it's going to get more difficult and more dark. Wow, thank you, Pastor, for that. That is exciting news. Thank you for coming today and sharing this wonderful message. And boy, your closing summation was just tremendous. I am going away. Is it depressing? I'll tell you this, yes and no. If you aren't a Christian, it's very depressing. I'd be shaking in my boots. I mean, I've read enough and see enough and I know enough and I've been around enough to know that we're moving in a terrible direction. And if you think things can't change in 5 days, from Palm Sunday to Good Friday, it can change in 24 hours. And every life is different. At some point, the lights can go out, a power shortage. It's terrible if you don't know Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus today, please come down front and talk with someone. We're going to have prayer teams come down in just a few moments and make sure that you get a relationship going with him. Because you can't buy night goggles from anybody except him. And when you connect with him, he'll give you the ability to see things. When God created the world, he said, in the beginning, the world was void and empty, and darkness covered the whole planet. I believe we're moving towards darkness. Do you remember what the first thing God said in the midst of darkness? Let there be light. I believe we're moving towards darkness, and when it gets so dark, he's going to come again, and he isn't going to say, let there be light. He's going to say, I am the light of the world, and you are children of the light. So make sure you shine. So it may be depressing to those who aren't, but for Christians, it's kind of exciting. Because the darker the night, the brighter the light. If you're able to see what God is doing, you can help others to make it through. Let me tell you, when you're in the dark, if there's a power outage night tonight, what is the very first thing that you will look for? You're going to look for a flashlight. Because you want to see. But I tell you, when it gets dark and no one knows what's happening and chaos goes across our country and our world, the Christians can stand up and say, hey, I know the way. Because I see the Savior. I say, Hosanna, he's come to save us. Yes. That's why I don't think it's depressing at all. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. If I'm home with Jesus tomorrow, great. If I'm here, great. Yes. This could be the Christian's finest hour. Live as children of God. Let me close with this story. October 3rd, 2019, 1 month and 2 days before my wife's death. I get up in the morning. She's still asleep, and so I go out to the other room. I come back in about an hour later, and she's awake, and she's smiling. And I say, man, you look different. What are you smiling for? I mean, just her countenance. I don't want to make it bigger than it was, but her countenance, have you ever seen someone, you can tell if they're depressed, or you can tell if they're really happy? Man, she was really happy. And I says, what's going on? She says, I just saw Jesus. And you can call it a hallucination, whatever you want. I'm not here to prove that to you. I'm telling you, I believe she saw Jesus. But she said, I saw Jesus. I says, man, tell me about him. What was it like? She said, oh, he's wonderful. I says, well, tell me a little bit more. And she says, well, I couldn't understand. I'm trying to, I've journaled this in my journal, so I've got it written out, but almost verbatim, she says, I couldn't understand why I'm so happy, because I'm in bed and I can't move. Her arm was all shriveled up and at that time, and she was nearing death, and she couldn't move. Brad and I were the only ones who could move her out of bed or turn her over. She couldn't do anything on her own. She said, I couldn't understand why I was so happy. And then she said, duh. Then I realized I'm in heaven. And she says, I says, do you want to be there? Do you want to go with him? She says, oh, yes. And if you've ever worked with dying people, you got to release them. You got to let them go. And I says, Donnie, you got to get out of here. I says, the moment he says it's your time, you get out of here. I love you. You love me. But he's a lot better looking than me. He's going to take care of you a lot better than I can talk. I actually said that to her. I said, he's going to do a lot more for you than I can. And I'm going to miss you. And I don't know. I don't think you're going to miss me. But hey, get out of here. And a month later, in 2 days, she died. I say that because she saw Jesus. And when you see Jesus, it changes everything. Could you stand and prayer teams if you'd come? Could I just pray the prayer that Elisha prayed? Do you remember the story of Elisha? They were in a dark period. And I believe it was the Syrian army. They were surrounded. They had no way out. They were going to die. The Israelites, they were going to die. It was the armies were there. And Elisha said, Lord, would you open up my servant's eyes to see beyond the obvious? And all of a sudden, he saw the angelic hosts spread out behind them. Oh God, my prayer for my brothers and sisters today is that in darkness, you give us some night goggles that could see clearly. You are still in control. You still are at work. You work the night shift, God. There is no sleeping with you. There is no slumber with you. You don't take any vacations. You're always on the job. Oh, God, help us to never lose sight of that. Because if we can keep our eyes on you, we open the door to your heavenly possibilities and opportunities. That's my prayer today. Thank you, Father, for allowing me the privilege of being here. Thank you, folks, for listening. I love you. If you are in a time of darkness and would like to have someone pray for you, there are those here today who would love to do that. God bless you today. And let Pastor Andrew know that I let you out on time today. But you're dismissed.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.